Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers, my sisters. Today is a great day. Hope you're enjoying the snow outside. Welcome to Spark Talk. My name is Matt LeClaire. You're listening to KDAC 102.5 FM, Bismarck Mandan's community radio station. Let's kick this off. The Sacred Pipe Resource Center, the Spark, and Spark Talk stands for the Sacred Pipe Resource Center. It's a local Native American nonprofit organization founded by Native members of the community that saw a need to help other local natives with whatever they could do. We have multiple events every month. You can check for any or more information on our Facebook page. Just go to that little magnifying glass in the search bar and type in Sacred Pipe Resource Center, or you can give them a call at 701-426-1315. That's Cheryl. Or you can email native, N-A-T-I-V-E, at sacredpipe.net. And we will respond pretty quick on the Facebook page as well as through email. Let's get to the events on December 13th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's next week. That's December 13th again, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Radisson Inn. We have the December Community Engagement Team and Holiday Party. The American Indian community is cordially invited to our annual holiday party featuring refreshments, gifts for the kids, coats, and winter boots giveaway. Sorry, sizes are limited. First come, first serve. Music, entertainment, and a visit from the jolly man from the north. The one, the only, they call him Mr. Claus, Santa Claus. Good guy. Great times. Again, write this down in your Apple calendars, Google calendars, on a post-it note, or your actual calendar. That's Wednesday, December 13th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Radisson Inn in room New York 1 and 2. Just ask at the front desk where that is. Again, we have gifts for the kids. We have coats and winter boots. We're giving those away. The sizes are limited, so get there early. And then stay and stick around for music and entertainment and a visit from that jolly round guy from the North Pole, Santa Claus himself. Also at this event, we are going to be holding, basically, on top of the Christmas party, we're having a supply drive for the Olivia Lone Bear search. That's also going to be there. So what we're going to need you to bring is a couple things that are going to be necessary to help the actual search, the search, and the people searching as well. So on top of the party on December 13th at the Radisson, we're asking everybody to bring stuff to help the searchers looking for Olivia Lone Bear. That's gloves, all sizes, scarves, snacks, granola bars, jerky, etc., coffee, sugar, cream, hand and foot warmers, paper goods, plates, cutlery, bowls, coffee, and any other items that you think might help the search. Remember, that's a supply drive. We're raising awareness and we're trying to get more supplies up to the searchers on the Fort Berthold Reservation looking for Olivia Lone Bear to help the search parties out. So again, that's also, we're going to be giving gifts, and if you could bring some items for the supply drive, that's gloves, all sizes, scarves, snacks, granola bars, jerky, etc., something they can bring with them while they're searching, coffee, sugar, cream, hand and foot warmers, paper goods, plates, cutlery, bowls, coffee cups, paper towels, etc., etc., and any other items that you think might help the actual search party. Ladies and gentlemen, today is an amazing, great day. In studio, we have an amazing guest coming up. He is a graffiti writer and Native American artist, and he asked me to make sure that I got that correct. So, Derek, if you're listening, I got it correct. In the studio today, we have the one, the only, a legend in many circles, a man with a hand and a plan. He's an amazing artist, a great person. He has an amazing story. It's kind of like a comeback story. I know him as Derek Smith. Those of you in certain artistic circles or other circles may know him as the man. They call him Focus. He is an amazing guy. He recently did a project for the Sacred Pipe Resource Center. He painted a box that we will be putting up in the Bismarck Mandan area, basically for homeless people and or people in need of food. You can put food in and you can take food out. As soon as we have the location, we will definitely announce that on our Facebook page. For any more questions, comments, or concerns, don't forget you can go to www.sacredpipe.net, or you can call 701-426-1315, or go to the Facebook app or go to the site. Click on that little magnifying glass up there in the search bar and type in Sacred Pipe Resource Center, and you can get updated on our upcoming events and follow us. Like the page, follow us, add us as a friend, message us with any comments or concerns. We usually answer pretty quick. Cheryl's on that. She's a good person. And again, a big thank you to Cheryl Carey, Dr. Cheryl Carey. Without her, none of this would be possible. So, Derek, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. It's going good.
That's awesome. Derek, you have a talent that I really envy, like, because I can't even draw a stick man. Even when I just draw my name, people are like, what does that say? I don't know what that is. And you, we'll put pictures on the Facebook page of this box that Derek painted. And we were thinking, you know, just a couple colors, but you really turned this into a work of art. Like, what inspired it? Like, where do your ideas come from?
Predominantly my images, they come from stories I've heard, just wanting to be able to retell them, wanting to be able to offer in insight for the youth who would be passing by or, you know, looking at it. And it's just a way to be able to bridge the gap between where I'm at in terms of my learning and to help offer a hand, so to say, towards the youth that are up and coming. So that's been my focus so far.
I think that's really cool. You guys got to see the picture. On the one side, there's this turtle, and in the design on the actual shell, there's a kind of a cool little word there. What was that word, Derek?
It's Wachoni.
And what does that mean?
Life.
It means life. And then what language is that?
Lakota.
That's Lakota Sioux, huh? That's me. Shout out. What reservation are you from?
I'm on my mom's side, from Standing Rock, and my dad's side, I'm Navajo.
That's awesome. I'm a full-blood Lakota Sioux, Cheyenne River, loud and proud. Shout out to Eagle Butte if you're listening, but probably not. Either way, Derek, you have, from what I understand, amongst the many achievements and the awesome things that you've done in your life, you have some sort of nonprofit. Is that correct?
Yes.
What's it called?
We're based out of South Dakota. It's called About This Life Incorporated.
That's awesome. What do you guys do?
We take community-oriented, I guess, issues, and we spotlight them through our murals and through our imagery inside of our artwork, and it speaks to the struggles of people of all, yeah, just all walks of life, and it's to help lend a voice to people who feel like they don't have a voice. We have covered a lot involving suicide prevention and help, and involving just kind of the black sheep ideas that are out there that people know about but never want to talk about. And we try to break down those walls and break down stereotypes and just allow the murals and the colors and artwork to do the speaking.
That's very true. They say a work of art has many, and it evokes many emotions and whatnot. And I think it's kind of cool how certain artists can evoke different emotions. And why do you want to cover, like, the untouchables, the black sheep, the ones that rely, that are on the fringes of society? Like a lot of people don't like to talk about that. It's kind of an unspoken thing, but it goes the same with any race or nationality. I mean, depression and suicide and grieving and you know, addiction is a big part. And I think it's really cool that you're addressing that as opposed to kind of just sweeping it under the rug and hoping, you know, no one talks about it. Like, why I guess, what was your inspiration to wanting to pit people that are going through that kind of issue?
It's a huge thing for me because I'm also a suicide survivor on many ways, and also a suicide survivor from one of my friends. So I understand very much what that looks like and what that feels like to watch somebody leave this earth in such a way. And prior to that, I've also been through a lot of struggles in my life to where I knew that if I could ever have had help in those moments, I would have, you know, wanted it. And so from where I stand and where I'm at and all my experiences, I try to use those to do as much as I possibly can to help anybody, to help give a voice to anybody who feels like they're all alone, who feels like no one sees them, who feels like just like they're in oblivion. And that's been my main concentration in trying to use just my experience, because I know what it's like.
It sounds like you, in your story right now, you've had you came from like a dark place, and from this dark kind of place that no one likes to talk about, it's a real thing, but it sounds like in your case, something really positive has come from it. Like, you're learning a lot. Like, I mean, what have you been learning up to this point? Or like, how, describe like your journey up to now, in the positive side of it.
And being able to walk away from the most recent attempt, I found myself on the verge, basically on the precipice of knowing that I had to make a choice, knowing that I had to make something different in my life, knowing that I had to make a change. Mm-hmm. And it was from this that I started walking forward. And that ultimately led me up to a lot of experience here in Bismarck. I was at the homeless shelter and decided to enroll myself in treatment. And I started my day out from there. I walked back and forth from the homeless shelter to treatment, and all in search of a new way, finding a new way to live, a new way to think. Because up until that point, I had suffered from my addictions and my vices, and they had gotten me nowhere. And they offered a lot in terms of learning, but that would come later on. Mm-hmm. But where I was at was I was really feeling the weight of having no one up here with me, just being all alone and by myself. So I was walking around and didn't have even a wallet or a cell phone on me. Just had to close my back, and I was searching desperately for a change. I ended up running into Judith Roberts, who has started Hope Manor. And it was a strange coincidence that I even ran into her, because a year ago I was in treatment in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I had heard her give her talk there. And on this night, I had heard her give another talk. And after that, I spoke to her, and she, after I turned in the application, she, agreed that I was accepted, and I was able to get into Hope Manor. And ever since then, I've been able to make a lot of positive steps in the direction of building a better foundation for myself.
That's awesome. And this is what I think is amazing about your story. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the country that do struggle with addiction. And it's one of those things that we don't like to talk about, or a lot of people are kind of hesitant, or they kind of have this weird feeling, this stigma about it. One thing I think is really cool about you is, from what I understand, you walked from the shelter to the treatment up at West Central. Is that correct?
Yes.
Like, I mean, just imagine that, because there are a lot of people out there in recovery that I've seen, and we've all known and heard that make excuses. I can't find a ride. I can't, I can't get off of work, blah, 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 blah. There's so many people out there that are quick to offer an excuse as to why they can't, as opposed to someone like you. You are a prime example, like a shining light in the hallway, the dark hallway of excuses when it comes to addicts. Of there's a way. If you have the will, you will find a way.
Absolutely.
And what I think is really cool is what I remember is I'd see you on your bike, you know what I mean? And it made me laugh when, we've seen it, you've seen it firsthand, when people are like, oh, I missed because I couldn't get a ride. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, this guy's riding his bike. Like, if you want to find that light, and if you want to be like changing your life, you'll find a definite way. And I mean, your perseverance and your struggle is very admirable to me, because I personally, I used to be one of those guys that was like, oh, bro, I didn't show up because I didn't have a ride, or, insert excuse here. And that was me. And I think it's just cool that you took no excuses, and you never really took no for an answer, or where other people would be like, man, how are you doing that? And you're very humble. You're a very well-spoken guy, intelligent. You have this amazing talent. So it's almost a shame to sit here and talk a little bit about where you came from. But at the same time, you are like a very good story in regards to where you came from to where you are now. And one thing I like about you is you never think about, like, how do I put it? If somebody told you, Derek, right now, you need to, in order to get better, you need to travel 4 miles, but the bus, the day that you're going there, the bus systems don't run, and you have no money for a taxi, how are you going to get there?
I'm going to walk. Going to get there.
Yeah. And why is that?
Because it's absolutely necessary. If I need to do it, I'm going to do it.
Don't you, like a lot of people that you see in your experience, don't you wish that a lot of other people had that? Like, you ever had a moment where you saw somebody else and you knew that they were, I don't know, like they were joshing you. You know what I mean? Like they were kind of like fibbing a little bit. They were telling a little bit of a lie because, you know, you could see that they just didn't want to be somewhere, or they're so quick to make an excuse. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
And how does it make you feel like when somebody says something like that? Like the prime example of, well, why weren't you here on this day? Well, I couldn't find a ride. Like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
First thing that comes to my mind is just, I try to think about just where have I done that in my past and where that led me. Mm-hmm. And primarily the feelings of knowing that I could have done better at the end of the day. And the reason why I have changed my perception and changed my attitude towards getting better and actually wanting it is because I know very deeply in my heart the absolute deprivation, the absolute agony, the very meaning of torture within my heart, within my mind, that I no longer want that. And that's something that I no longer have a place for within my entire being. And so when I hear that, it allows me a chance to be able to reflect upon where I'm coming from and to offer them a little bit of peace and in the form of a prayer or good thoughts or trying to just view things differently.
And that's the best way to go. I mean, the long red road isn't an easy road to walk, but the ones that choose it, that are strong enough to persevere, first have to think and realize that they do need help. That's the hardest part, is it? Is it not? Like it like you have to like give up yourself to realize what you need to do to help yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yes, like, absolutely.
Like a lot of people, I mean, were you afraid when you first came to that point? Like that, this show is called Spork Talk. And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to KDAC 102.5 FM. My name is Matt LeClaire, and in studio with us, we have Derek Smith and awesome circles around the country. He'd be known as Focus. Derek, Focus Smith. Love that moniker, by the way. But back on subject, when you hit that, the dark place, it's like you realize something, like something just clicks. Or how did you experience it?
To me, it turned out to be this point where I knew there was no going back. And if I went back, I knew that I could never come back. And so it was just within that knowing that I could never, ever allow myself to be that person again, because I felt it in my heart of hearts, so they say, that I'd had to make a change. And in that moment of darkness, that came the moment I woke up, when I realized that I was still here. And it was just the weight of the feelings, of the emotions, every single minute after that moment, deciding what I was going to do and how I was going to sift through it, or how I was going to walk through it. I wanted so desperately just to walk away, but every other moment in my life, I had always just walked away from responsibility, from anything that would make me look at myself. I had just completely and wholly ignored. And so when I came to that moment, it was hard. And it wasn't easy. It was a suffering that I had to feel everything through that moment, and to make that choice to stay, to make that choice every day to believe that what I was doing was going to lead somewhere, was going to continue to add up, was going to make a difference. To make that choice wasn't just something I woke up with and said, this is what I'm going to do. I had to think that every single moment, because as I began to walk back and forth from the homeless shelter to treatment, you know, my feet began to hurt and my body just started to feel tired because I couldn't find anything to eat, and finding just a drink of water was hard and difficult. And so it was just an accumulation of all these small things that continued to help me. I didn't see it as help then. I saw it as just grinding against everything that was, everything that told me that I needed to be comfortable when I, You know, when I thought about it, I decided that every step I took in pain was going to be for transformation, was going to be for something different, because I thought about my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids are an amazing gift and part. I've been personally coming from, you know, I've been kind of down the same road. A lot of people don't know that, but, you know, we have a lot in common. But one thing that I definitely grasped onto was the thought of my little girl in Eden. If you're listening, I love you. And it's these little things like that that just, they make you realize that there's more to life than, you know, just yourself. You know what I mean? Like, other people look up to you and you don't even realize that. Have you ever gotten to that moment where you see other people that either look up to you, and it could be something as simple as your child or a nephew or even a friend that's like, wow, man, I can't believe that you came this far. I mean, I'm one of those people for you, Derek. I'm a huge fan of your work. I mean, I haven't seen much of it, but I know potential when I see it. And you have a really, really good opportunity and you have a lot of potential. And I'm definitely one of those people that if you don't realize it, there are people out there that kind of look at you like, wow, man, this guy is doing stuff and I'm admiring him for that. Have you got that? You know, besides me just telling you now, has anybody told you that?
Yes. Yes, I've had a couple of people, but I've also had to remember that it's a wonderful thing to have somebody help encourage you. Yep. Because a lot of times I don't ever encourage even myself. Like I don't ever do that for myself. I always get down on myself for, mm-hmm. you know, small things, and I continue to perpetuate my own anxiety by doing those things. And so whenever somebody does tell me these things, I have to set aside the part in my mind that's telling me that they're not, you know, sincere or you know, just those lies that I continue to tell myself.
Yeah.
And I have to open my mind and open my heart and just be willing to accept that, because I've always been too hard on myself, and I've always tried to make myself assume that just that human connection of listening to what somebody has to say, knowing that that's a very vital part of everyday human interaction, because it helps me be aware of that there are other people, you know, and it's a blessing in disguise, and that's something I've had to remind myself of.
That's very true. It's funny that you say that, because one of the reasons why I started doing this show and something that I learned as I'm doing it is I'm a terrible listener. Outside of this show and outside of sitting on these mics with the guests, you know, on the other side of me, I'm a horrible listener. Like, you can ask my wife, you can ask my family. I'm always the blah, 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 blah. I talk a lot. You know what I mean? And it's hard to get a word in edgewise, but doing this show has taught me that, yeah, there's an amazing part, it's almost an art to listening. People don't get that. Like, it's not just sitting here hearing what you're saying, it's absorbing the knowledge they're passing to you. And this is like the only time and chance I get to absorb that from people, you know what I mean? Is that kind of how you feel? Because to me, you're like a really good listener, and me, some people don't think I'm listening because, you know, I'm all fidgety and I like look around a lot, but I hear what people are saying. It's usually because I got a lot of stuff going on, but you engage people. And do you have to teach yourself to do that? Or like, how do you become a good listener? Because that's one thing that I know you have as a quality, you know what I mean? That you kind of, you're proud of it.
It was not something I actively did. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it was just an astounding feeling that someone was even talking to me to begin with for the first part.
Yeah.
Because I had, again, was entertaining those ideas that I felt, you know, so alone, or just entertaining those ideas as I was walking out of the dark shadows of my addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And as it got further along, I started to realize that when people say something, even if it may sound like they're just repetitively speaking or regurgitating something, or if they're just talking to you, it just, to me, it offers me a chance to be able to get out of my mind for a little bit, because I know that if I stay in my mind for too long, I end up spinning out on ideas that aren't always healthy for me.
It's true.
So it just gives me a chance to invite someone else into my life.
If somebody's out there listening and say they're in a legal spat, maybe they got something going on in their life that they don't really know how to get out of, or not even necessarily get out of, but they want help, They've accepted the fact that they have a problem. They accepted the fact that they can't face it alone. And a lot of people don't even know what Hope Manor is. Like, would you mind, like, just touching a little bit on what it is? Like, you know, I know that Judith Roberts started it, correct?
Yes.
And then what do you, without divulging too much, I mean, I know there's some confidentiality things, but if someone wants to get into it, how would they, what's the process that would start them on that path?
Searching for them on Facebook and on the internet, because they have telephone numbers and emails that are available to help people. And they accept applications all the time. And for me, it's been an absolute turning point. Yep. Because I know that if I didn't have this opportunity to be there, to have a place and a space surrounded by a lot of loving, open-hearted, kind, and absolutely serene and calm people, even though at times they might not think it, but they're just... they're very helpful and they're very thoughtful. And if I didn't have this opportunity, I know that it would be a different story. I know that I would still be dealing with the things I'm dealing with.
Yep.
But just having that nurturing environment is absolutely, absolutely critical for me.
One question that I have for you, Derek, before we get going here, very engaging conversation, but if somebody's out there listening right now that, you know, is in the same place, maybe it's suicide or it's addiction or it's loneliness, depression. If somebody out there right now is listening, what advice or words of encouragement do you have to give them?
Is that it only gets better. Mm-hmm. That throughout anything and everything that you're going through, that you have everything that you need to know within your heart and soul right now, and that there's never a moment where you're alone, that there's never a moment where you will ever be turned away if you ask for help. A lot of it is just finding the courage to ask for help, finding the strength to be able to go one more minute of one more day and to find a way through the things that pain you, because that's what I've come to learn, and that's what, you know, I would like you to know, is that even though I don't know you or I can't see you, it doesn't mean that I don't think about you, because I felt the pain that you feel and I understand where you are, and you're in my prayers.
Thank you. Those are very amazing and wise words. And on that note, I think it's so cool that you coming from where you came from, and then Cheryl and Sacred Pipe needing somebody to paint this box. How did that feel?
It's a blessing. It's definitely encouraging that someone would believe in me again, because again, up until this point, I didn't believe in myself. I didn't see myself as the same person I was whenever I was creating my murals and working with About This Life Incorporated.
Yeah.
You know, a shout out to Aaron Piercy and, Sarah Johnson, rest in peace. You know, when I was working with them, it was an entirely different life, an entirely different story. But, you know, coming up to this point, I, again, didn't believe in myself, and I was coming out of a really dark place. And so it did everything for me in terms of nurturing back that creative side of me, of just feeling like someone believed in me by giving me an opportunity, by giving me a chance, which I know is something that everyone craves at some point in their life, a chance to just be heard, you know, a chance to do something, a chance to be involved.
Again, for those of you listening, the box we're talking about is it's a box, and we're going to put food in it, and people can come and take food as they need, or you can come and put food into it. And it's got the Sacred Pipe logo on it. It's Derek really took this box and turned it into a real work of art. And like I said, we'll put pictures on the Facebook page, and also stay tuned for the actual location. And that Sacred Pipe Resource Center recognizes this part of the community, not just in our native people, but in all walks of life for anybody. So like I said, go to Sacred Pipe Resource Center Facebook page, or you can go to www.sacredpipe.net and find out more information. Derek, it's been an awesome time. We're going to have to get you back on again, because there's so much more to talk about in regards to the positive things. We talked a lot about the negatives and the positives, but all in all, I just, you know, we just want people out there to know that they're not alone. There are a lot of resources, and this man, Derek, you know, Focus Smith, I'm going to call him Mr. Focus, because it takes a lot of focus and drive and perseverance to accomplish the things that I've witnessed this man do. You know what I mean? So for people out there that make excuses, there's no excuse. If you really want it, trust me, this man showed me you can get it. So Derek, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
Again, a huge thank you to Derek Focus Smith for being on the show. Again, you can check out his artwork. We'll have the box and the page, and we'll try to get a picture of the murals he did. Again, don't forget, December 13th is the Sacred Pipe Resource Center Community Engagement Team Meeting / Holiday Party. We'll be handing out coats and boots. Supplies are limited, so first come, first serve. Come on by for refreshments. That is at the Radisson Inn in the New York, rooms 1 and 2. Again, that's from 6 to 8 p.m. And don't forget, the man with the plan in the red will be there. Santa Claus himself from the North Pole. Special visitor from the Jolly North, anyway. Again, don't forget that. Also, on December 13th, when you come on down to that holiday party, don't forget we're having a supply drive. So if you have any supplies that you want to bring in, and these are, but not limited to, gloves, all sizes, and scarves, snacks, including granola bars, jerky, etc., something they can eat while they're looking around because they are still searching for Olivia Lone Bear, hand and foot warmers, paper goods such as plates, cutlery, bowls, and coffee cups, and paper towels, and any other items you might think are helpful. Again, the Spark and Spark Talk stands for the Sacred Pipe Resource Center. It was a local Native American nonprofit organization. It's the little nonprofit that could, can, and continues to do so. Huge thank you to the one and only, the legend herself, Dr. Cheryl Carey. Also, big shout out to Jim and Josh. And again, KDAC 102.5, America's Community Radio Station. Again, you're listening to Spark Talk. My name is Matt LeClaire. Eden, if you're listening, I love you, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, because we all know you deserve it.